the study title in our series, Love is the Most Excellent Way, Making Wise Choices. Making wise choices. So if you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, if you remember, let's catch you up from a couple of weeks ago when I had the opportunity to teach via video. We were talking about John and how this son of thunder became the apostle of love. And remember, I was talking about that moment on the cross where Jesus looks out and he sees John and the two Marys, one of them being his mother. And he says to John, behold your mother, and to his mother, behold your son. Well, for a moment, you look at that and you go, Jesus, you must have been desperate. You absolutely must have been desperate to give this son of thunder your mother. You wouldn't give your mother to someone like a son of thunder because he may fly off the end one day, because that's what a son of thunder does. They just all of a sudden just get all worked up. Well, I believe that John was going to be radically discipled by Mary, and Mary was going to become this incredible discipler of John and invest into John to become this apostle of love. And now in this book, over 50 times, John writes a love letter and mentions this word, love. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful for your word. And we're so thankful that we can come to you. And we're so grateful that you've given us your word. And as we learn that love is the most excellent way, I pray that you would speak to us in powerful ways. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's 1 John chapter 1. Take a look. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we've seen, we bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. I don't know if you're getting the point or not, but John is getting the point across. I saw him. I watched him. I experienced him. I know that he was the Son of the living God. I saw him walk on water. And he wasn't one of the X-Men. He wasn't like a mutant. This was the Son of the living God. I saw him turn this little bit of food into five to be able to feed 5,000. I saw him do the most incredible things. I saw him. I'm an eyewitness. You can bring me into a court of law. I'm going to share with you, along with all the other disciples, exactly who Jesus is. And so he says, I watched him. And I wonder if we could say the same thing tonight. I wonder if we've experienced Jesus in our reality. I wonder if we're living that life of faith that everywhere we go, everywhere that we see, in our workplace, in our school, wherever we are, that we can say, I've seen Jesus. I've seen him manifest. I've seen him manifest through me. I've seen him manifest at work. I've experienced Jesus. Because that allows us to be that eyewitness. Now look at verse 3, that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. John often points out this joy. It's in John chapter 10. He makes sure to point out about the abundant life that Jesus Christ offers. In John chapter 15, he makes sure to point out that the pathway to joy is through knowing the words of Jesus. You see, so oftentimes we want to find our joy in things other than the words of God. And John is making very clear the way that you're going to experience real joy is through Jesus Christ. Because joy is not an emotion. Joy is something that comes from deep within your spirit because you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Happiness is emotion. It goes up one day, it comes down the other, and one day you're happy and one day you're sad. Listen, I've got three women in my house right now. Three women in my house. We're outnumbered. I've got six boys and three girls. And right now, my son and I, we're outnumbered by the women that are in our home. And one morning, you could wake up and you'd go to bed and everyone's all excited and everyone's all happy. And then you wake up in the morning and there's like hair is out of place. And all of a sudden, Timon's like, something has happened. And he comes to me and says, Dad, they went to bed happy, but now they're waking up all sad and upset. But listen, it's not just women. Let me tell you something, guys, you're emotional too. You're emotional too. I was out in the water this morning. This guy, he misses the wave, and the words that came out of him blew my mind because he missed a wave. And I looked at him, I go, dude, there will be another. You do not need to get this upset over water, man. It doesn't have an emotion. It's not going to slap you in the face. I'm like, bro, you're having a bad day, man. And he paddles out and he's all mad, takes off another weight. I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, you're not even enjoying this moment because you missed one wave. You see, our joy doesn't depend on whether we catch a wave or not. We got Jesus. And Jesus is never going to change. And John wants us to make sure that we live in this joy. But Jesus says it best. Listen to this. It's John chapter 15. I want to read you this scripture. Listen to what Jesus says. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I've spoken to you. I've given you my word, he says in John 15, 11. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. I've given you my word. What will you do with it? Life is filled with choices, isn't it? Life is filled with choices. Where am I going to work? What career am I going to have? What college classes am I going to take? Who is going to be my boyfriend? Who is going to be my girlfriend? Who am I going to hang out with and who am I not going to hang out with? And every single day, we make over 30,000 choices a day. Will I brush my teeth or not? Will I put on deodorant or not? Lord Jesus, help them make the wise decision. Will I comb my hair? Will I change my hairstyle? Will I shave my face? Some of you need to. Will I shave my legs? Lord Jesus, help them make a wise decision. Listen, we make decisions every single day. Some of them are incredibly wise decisions. And at the fruit at the end of it, we're like, wow, I'm so glad I made that decision. And some decisions we make are incredibly foolish. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you've ever made a foolish decision in your life before. I personally have never made foolish decisions in my life before. Are you kidding me? I'll never forget my first girlfriend. Do you know what she said to me? She goes, I'll go out with you as long as you don't tell anybody. I was so infatuated with Angela that I said to her, I'm not marred. You know, just imagine, if my wife ever said to me, I want to name one of our children Angela, I don't know what would happen to me if she did. But I said to her, and I'm all of like 14 years old, 15, I don't know how old I was, but she was like the hottest girl in school. And I'm like, yes, Angela, don't tell anybody, and I won't tell anybody. And I left her house, and I dated her for a year in my mind. It was not a reality. She never talked to me at school. She never said anything. She never wrote me back. All the little love letters I sent to her, Angela, and it would be like Angela and Chet. You know, it's kind of like this whole deal. I even wrote Angela Lowe one day at 14. I'm like messed up in my mind. The girl never talked to me again. Bad choice. Bad choice. It's okay, Jesus loves me, someone shouts. Obviously, you still see the pain that's in my heart. Are you kidding me? Because I found another A, Andrea. And you know how there's like A and triple A? Let me tell you something. I found like quintuplet million A, okay? She is not Angela, she is Andrea. And she's hot. And she loves Jesus. And she's an incredible mom. She cooks incredible food. If you ever want the best chicken Devon in your life, you need to come over to our house. She was one of the wisest decisions I have ever made. Someone clap. Andrew, you're getting hooted. Don't go anywhere near that guy. But our life is filled with, you know, Andre and I were like, we go out, you know, have a little date night. Sorry, I'm like stuck on my wife right now. But we'll, you know, we'll go out on a date and we'll hang out and the whole deal. And all these guys are like looking at her, you know? I'm like, she's mine. You know, it's kind of your chest goes up. You're walking with your babe, you know? It's kind of, yeah, there she is, you know? So great. Okay, I'm back. All right. Where was I? She was a great choice. Now listen, we've got 9 kids. Not such a great choice. Let me tell you something. We weren't thinking about college educations. And now that they're all sapping every dollar that we have from us. You know, my daughter called me the other day and I'm like, sweetie, I know you probably want $50. No, Dad, I just love you. At the end of the conversation, you know, my bank account's a little low. Listen, wise choice. I wouldn't replace it for anything. Each one of our 9 kids was the wisest thing we did. Now listen, I'll make fun and I'll do, but let me tell you something. Everyone that we adopted, every child that we brought in, every child that we have, I'm a different person because of each one of them. A wise choice. And that's exactly what John is leading us in. We've got some choices to make. The first choice that you can make, let's take a look, if you would, at verse 5. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. None. None whatsoever. There's no shadow of turning. Just imagine, no matter where we go on this earth, no matter what room that you go into, unless it's completely dark, there will be a shadow that's cast on you. God is light. He's light. And let me explain what light means. He's the way. Because if I use a headlight driving down I-5, I can see where I'm going. And that's what light does. It shows us where to go. And God is light. He's leading us down right paths. The question is, will we choose to follow his path? But he's so cute. I know he doesn't know Jesus, but hey, I'll tell him. I'll make sure that he knows. You should hear a Holy Spirit going off. Because let me tell you something. 30 years from now, the pecs will droop. He'll wrinkle. And he'll still be sitting on the couch when you're begging him to go to church. Let me tell you something. This past weekend in our church, I gave the gospel, right? And I'm giving the gospel. And when I gave the gospel, this 40-year-old guy, the wife has been praying for him for years, 40-year-old guy, he stands up. And this woman, this wife, she looks at him like his name was just called on The Price is Right. Like, hey, Jeff, come on down. She was like, whoa! She like shakes in her seat. While that was an incredible experience, I know the pain that she's walked for 20 years. You see, God is light. He's leading you in right paths. He's leading you in right directions. And in him, there is no darkness at all. He'll never lead you down a dark path. He will never tell you to go the right way. But I'll tell you who will. Oh, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You see, there's this little creature known as Lucifer, okay? The devil, Satan, okay? Diablo. Listen to my Spanish. George doesn't think I can speak Spanish, okay? Yo pongo, all right? Or puede? I don't know. All right, here we go. So I can't speak, all right. I just prove, you know, I don't actually speak Spanish, I speak Gringolish. And where was I? Diablo. And he shows up in the Garden of Eden. He shows up, and what does he do? He makes Eve doubt the word because he wants to lead into darkness. That's what he does. And God always wants to lead us in the right path. So take a look, if you would, at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We've got a choice to make. And the first choice that we can make is we can be a hypocrite or we can be a disciple. We can choose to be a hypocrite. Look what he says again in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. You can't say, I'm in love with Jesus on Sunday, raise my hand, glory, hallelujah, and that night go and sleep with your boyfriend. It doesn't work. It's hypocritical. You can't put a big old glory, hallelujah smile on you and then go compromise when you're filling out your taxes and lie and cheat and steal. You can't go into your workplace and sneak a hamburger from In-N-Out without paying for it and come to church on Wednesday, praise God, glory, Jesus, hallelujah. That's a hypocrite. That's someone who says they're one thing, but their actions prove them another. You can make that choice. It's a foolish one, but you can make that choice. And that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Now, Paul is not saying that you're going to be saved or you're not going to be saved. No, that's what a test is for. When I'm in college, I take midterms and I take finals. That's what I do, okay? In some of my classes, I only showed up for the midterm and the final. And so you would take this midterm or you would, someone's nodding their head. That's not a good thing to do, okay? That was a bad student of me, bad. Point your finger at yourself, bad student. I learned that from Hannah. Point your finger at yourself, you're a loser. Change your life. You know, it's good. So, you guys, did Hannah do a great job tonight, huh? Come on. And so, where was I? Point your finger, you're a loser. Okay, so here's the idea and the understanding. You've got to have the and recognize, we've got to examine ourselves. We've got to point our finger at ourselves and go, wait a second, are you acting like a Christian of the Christian that you say you are? Or does anyone even know you're a Christian and they can't tell you're a Christian because you're not acting like it? Where do I spend my money? Where do I spend my money? Do I even tithe? Where do I spend my time? Now, let me tell you something. Every Monday, I can't wait to get here and be with you guys. Because I am so overwhelmed that a group of young people would gather on Monday night to learn how to be more like Jesus. It blows my mind. I am so proud of you guys. I can't even begin to tell you. You are making a wise decision. But where else do you spend your time? You see, I'm going to examine myself. And what do I find pleasurable? Do I want to go and watch a movie that's going to, well, the world. This is what blows my mind. The world tells us it's good if you're 17 or older. And we listen to the world and go, I'm 17. It must be good for me. But we don't even go into like a plugged in to make sure that it's something that would honor God. So listen, you could be a hypocrite or take a look at verse 7. But he says, here's another choice. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, I can be a hypocrite or I can be a disciple. I can walk in the light. And let me explain what John is trying to get across. He's trying to say, don't be a hypocrite. Make every effort. Once you learn something about Jesus, you take another step in that way because it's leading you by light. And once I learn another thing about Jesus, I take another step. So listen, here's an incredible principle. Be kind one to another. That's a step of faith. Because people are mean. They're mean. Let me tell you, some guy, he took off on my wave today. Right next to me. I was so mad. I looked at him and I go, you. And then I started thinking about my Bible study. Make a wise choice, Chet. Because I wanted to use myself as a good illustration. But let me tell you something. My heart was so wretched within me. Over a wave. Are you kidding me? Jesus says, be kind one to another. So what I should have said when we paddled back out, praise God for you. You just made me practice my faith. I'm so thankful. And I want to be kind to you. Would you like to take all my waves? In fact, I'm going to go in so you can just ride every wave possible. See, there's the problem, isn't it? Some of us like to walk in the flesh, and we feed the flesh instead of the spirit. We make so many foolish decisions that our flesh is alive and well. But when we're walking in the way, making wise choices and wise decisions, that is the way of light. And he says, you can be a disciple. You can walk in the light as he in the light. Now, let me explain what walking in the light does. When we lived in Liberia, we used to have this thing. Now, this is going to be really weird for you guys, but we didn't have electricity. We didn't have running water. We didn't have like the modern amenities. In fact, this past summer, I went with Zach to Liberia. We took a couple of guys with us, and I took them to the house that we lived in during the war. And when we got to the house that we lived in, I showed him our outside bathroom. He was like, you didn't live here. I go, no, dude, we lived in this house. Okay, we lived in here. You basically have to open the door and crawl into the house like this. There's no windows. It's boiling hot when you're sleeping inside this house, but you don't want windows because you're afraid someone's going to break in. So you just go into darkness. And this is where we lived during the war. And he's like, no way, there's no way. And then I showed him the bathroom that we went to. He goes, you didn't use this bathroom. He goes, we did. We used this particular, but this is not like running water. It's not like a flushing toilet. And I go, well, let me tell you what else it does. At night, it comes alive. Millions of cockroaches come up out of the hole. You guys getting a visual? So this is what we used to do for fun. We would sneak up on the outhouse. And we would, listen, open the door very quietly. And then all of a sudden, we'd shine the light and kill as many cockroaches as we possibly could. And let me tell you what the cockroaches would do. They'd start flying all around us. And you know what they would try to do? They were trying to get back into the hole. I'm like, don't go down there. Don't go down there. But you know what cockroaches like when light shines on them? Darkness. I want you to associate your little pet sin with a cockroach. Ugh. And imagine me screaming, don't go down there. It's smelly. It's gross. In fact, you're going to die down there. It's just horrible. Now, some of you guys got a real visual in your mind. Good. Because the only point of sin is to kill, steal, and destroy. And some of you, when the light of Jesus shines on your life, instead of being a disciple, you scour back into the darkness. And Jesus is like, wait a second, no, I'm only shining light to rescue you from that pit. That's what Jesus does. Now you can make a choice. You can choose to be a hypocrite and run down in that hole as many times as you want. Or you can choose to be a disciple and follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Now let me give you what Paul says are some of the indications that you're walking in light. He says this, you're going to be in fellowship. Look with me if you would at verse 7. You're going to be in fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know what I always find amazing when people are choosing to be a hypocrite? They isolate. Hey, I haven't seen you in a little while. Yeah, I'm good. We're all good. And I love because I'm the pastor. Amen. I love because I'm the pastor. As soon as I walk in on the scene, it's like all of a sudden I represent holiness. And it's kind of like cockroaches. Hey, I'm good. Gotta go. I don't know what it is about pastor that, and I'll never forget. I was in the hospital the other day visiting somebody, and this guy is using every explicative you can possibly imagine describing his scene in the ER. Okay, I mean, he's just worse than I shouldn't say truck driver because I know a lot of Christian truck drivers, but you know the illustration I'm trying to get across. And he's going, and then he looks at me and goes, well, what do you blankety blank do? And I go, well, I'm in love with Jesus and I'm a pastor. He went, sucked every word he had said the entire time. Well, you know, I go to church. You do? What church do you go to, brother? And he couldn't even remember the church's name. I go, bro, I said to him, I go, well, sounding from the way that I've heard you speak, I think maybe you should go back into church. And we began this conversation. All of a sudden, his whole mouth began to clean. He started to make a wise choice. And I was able to share with him and talk with him about how God wants and has a purpose for his life. You got to get back into fellowship, man. It's going to clean you up. up and it's going to lead you into right paths. But what happens when we choose to be a hypocrite, we don't want to be around light. We don't want to be around people that are following. And listen, if you're listening to me and you're coming back for the first time, let me hear. I want you to hear something that Jesus Christ says to you. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. If you're listening on the radio, come home. You see, you can make a wise choice today because listen to what else it offers us being a disciple. He cleanses us from sin. And let me tell you what that means. Freedom. Freedom. I had the opportunity to disciple a couple of NFL players. And we text every day and we go back and forth. And it was just an incredible experience. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting across the table from one of the guys and I'm ministering to him and I'm like, here's the deal, dude. I want you, he goes, I'm not a slave to anything. That's what he says to me. I'm not a slave to anything, man. I'm a conqueror. I'm on the NFL. Big old guy, he's like 6 foot something. He's just, I mean, you see, if I called his name, you'd be like, whoa. I mean, just this, you know, he's just, man, you know, he's just like, wow, you are a football player. Everywhere he goes, like people are looking at him and I said, he goes, I'm not a slave to anyone. I'm not a slave to anything. And I said, okay, this week, no women. He started sweating, moving in his chair. Dude, I don't know. I mean, I'm a man. I've got desires and I've got passions. And, you know, I mean, Jesus understands. He gave them to me. He's coming up with all these biblical reasons as to why he was enslaved to sin. I talked to him a couple of days ago. He said, man, I am so thankful that you spoke that word into my life because I didn't know what real life was. I was being tricked. I was being fooled. But now I know the abundance of life because I'm doing it Jesus' way. You can be a disciple and be set free from sin. It's your choice which one you're going to make. Pray with me. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we are just overwhelmed by your gospel. We got some choices to make, and here's our choices. Are we going to be a hypocrite or be a disciple? And so, Father, I come before you, and I ask you in the name of Jesus that your spirit would enter this room for all those who are listening. I pray they would hear, welcome home. And make a decision tonight to forsake sin and follow after God. So, Lord, let your spirit rain down. In Jesus' name.